Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy? Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Guys, we got a great show today. We got the crew. We also have Jake Brutal Bostwick, who's undefeated in bare knuckle boxing, who's a stud, was a great fighter, also a great MMA fighter, who just sparred with Jake Paul and has a lot to say about it. So he's going to be on the show. It's going to be a great show. It's been a crazy week. Greg, by the way, I did a show, Greg. I got booked in Arizona, and This guy told me, he's like, yeah, man, I'm running all these rooms because I heard what you said on Greg's podcast, The Booker. Listened to the podcast and was like, and took my advice. So I guess now he'll be homeless, but either way, he'll be a much better.
Well, you know, and that's why I'm doing it, because it really is about the craft of stand-up. You said some really amazing things in there that I think young comedians, you know, that's the thing. Nobody goes into comedy because they want to work hard. You know, I mean, it's true. I mean, honestly, we go into comedy because we're lazy pieces of shit and we want to lay around all day and perform for 1 hour at night and then get drunk and have fun. And, you know, but when you get into it as a business and making a career of it, you realize it's like any business and any career. There's a ton of work, and you put in more of that, and your understanding of that coming from your perspective is so key. And I couldn't be, that's why I'm so excited to be doing this Inside the Comedy Institute podcast, and specifically to have you as my first guest, because this is the stuff these guys need to hear. It's amazing to see that it's already having an impact.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was actually like, wow. It's funny, though, because my wife was like, you know, she works 9-to-5 job, and she's like, sometimes she gets mad that I, like, love my job. Like, not that she doesn't love her job, but like, you know, everything that I get paid for, I would do for free. And I've done for free.
Absolutely.
For many, many years.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, you weren't there all the times that I got spit on, thrown out, banned, kicked out. People had to escort me to the car because people wanted to fight me. Menus thrown in my head. I mean, most people would have just fucking quit at that point.
Absolutely. You know? I remember the night at the Bruco, Westwood Brewing Company, where I think it was me and Ben Morrison went out to the street to smoke a joint. And we come back and a brawl had broken out in the room. We were like, what the fuck happened? We went out for fucking 5 minutes. We got back to place the melee. What the fuck is happening here?
I think that was the Godfrey night.
So,
I'll tell the story real quick. So Godfrey, a really funny comic. He actually has a new Netflix special, Tiffany Haddock, called They Ready 2, Part 2. It just came out last night. And, you know, me and Godfrey have been friends forever. We were actually on the same True Life I'm a Comic episode. On MTV, where he was in a limo and a hot tub at the Montreal Comedy Festival, and I was getting spit on in Times Square giving out flyers. Like, I was like the new guy, and he was the level that I wanted to get to, right?
Absolutely.
So we were doing 10 years later, we're doing the Bruco, and his dad or his mom just died, and he was in a really bad place. And he also, it was a free show, and a lot of the college kids would heckle. Anytime you have a free show, people think that it's like...
Exactly. They're like, oh, this is crap. We can treat it however, because it's free. That's true.
People sometimes, like, if you're listening, people always think that because something costs money, it has value. And I would argue that most of the things that have value don't cost money. But so when you don't pay for a comedy show and you just go, you're like, oh, this has no value. When actually you could be seeing Dave Chappelle, or Godfrey or whoever. So sometimes money could actually take away something's value. But what I'm trying to say is so Godfrey came down, he was in a bad place. And he goes on stage and he just took like a jujitsu class, like his first class ever. And there's a bunch of kids in the crowd, and he was hostile towards the crowd. He's like, who the fuck would bang you, to these kids? And then the kid goes, your mother, right? And then Godfrey puts the microphone in the mic stand, walks into the crowd and starts choking out a kid. Like, just fucking tackles them and puts them like in like a
almost like an arm triangle, but that's not what you do in jiu-jitsu in a street fight, because now people are around him. Luckily, he picked the right five kids who had no idea what was going on. They just saw a huge black dude choke out their friends. They were like trying, and my effort is to just start hitting kids because I'm on Team Godfrey. At the same time, Godfrey's in the wrong, and this is my show, you know? So I had to like take kids and hurl them off Godfrey, as well as hurl Godfrey off a kid who's choking. And then like fucking cops came, like, blah, blah, blah. Luckily, we told the cops that they attacked Godfrey because he's black.
which by the way, my favorite part of this story is when I come back and you tell me what happened. The main point you wanted me to understand was that Godfrey used the wrong fighting technique for the environment. This is completely true. You were like, and he went right for the jiu-jitsu, but he was against five guys. You can't use jiu-jitsu against five guys. That, you know, he's like, that's a one. So he tried take him down, but then all his boys were attacking him. So I had to fight those guys. You just, that's not how you use jiu-jitsu. That was what drove you crazy, was that he chose to use jiu-jitsu versus five.
That, right? So the cops come, they break it up. It's chaos. And then I go, who wants to go on next? And we kept the show going.
That's right. That's right.
The show actually kept going. Everyone's right. So anyway, last week I did two shows, and it feels so great to do comedy outside. It's the best. And by the way, Jake and Tasha came, and I'm still jealous that Tasha flashed you her tits, by the way. There's these two friends that, like, every time I see Tasha, I think of her flashing you. But being a married guy, I can't be like, hey, you know, you flash Greg. Not that I. So I did two shows. But then, so this guy, Jason Love, I like Jason Love. You know him? He's a booker. He always books these like clean corporate, non-offensive gig that I always say yes because I'm not thinking when I say yes. So he says to me, hey, you want to do the show on Zoom? It's for a cancer benefit. Doesn't pay, but you'll get into heaven or something. And I'm like, all right, sure. Why? 6 o'clock? When? Wednesday? No problem. I'm trying to watch the baby. I got like, my wife's yelling at me. I'm like doing, Nanny still has COVID. I got like 500 things going on, right? My dad, I picked him up from the hospital. He had a blood transfusion. He's like, okay. I go, Dad, you had so much marijuana in your blood. They had to dip the blood in edibles in order to match your blood. So my dad, I literally had to pick my dad up from the hospital at 8 a.m. And somebody says, the nurses were like, he's drunk. Cause they put him under, and he's like holding court. He's like, hey, what's up, you kid? How's it going? I'm like, Dad, let's just get in the car. It's 8 this time.
Your dad's feeling the best he's felt since 88.
Seriously, right? So then what happens is like, what was I say? Oh, so I do this benefit. So I get on the Zoom show and everyone has cancer. It's old people with cancer, which is like fine, but I wasn't expecting this, you know, like right. When I thought it was like a benefit. And I didn't prepare. So I just like started doing my act. And then some girl in the chat, somebody goes, this is offensive towards women. I can't believe the Cancer Society now being heckled in the Zoom chat. Like I walked a lady from the Zoom chat in a cancer show, right? And luckily everybody else was like, best show ever. And they're like, thumbs up and thank you. Like, this is the most fun they've had. I apologize. He's like, dude, it was just one person. There's always one person that complains. But I think I had a better shot of getting into heaven before the show. Like, I think that actually,
it actually took you down a notch.
Yeah. So that was that. And then I did like a marijuana dispensary benefit show, or I don't like getting high before I go on stage. I know you can do that. I just can't. I just can't. Especially with the California weed, you know.
You know what it is? And it's got to be the right. First of all, it really can't be the heavy weed, even for me. Like, it's got to be the right balance, and I have to time it correctly. And even for me, someone that likes to smoke weed usually before he goes on stage, there's a science to it to make sure that I'm not too stoned.
Yeah, I just always worry that I'm going to do like really well, and then I'm not have to get high all the time. You know,
that's my world pretty much.
What is the best drug to do before you go on stage? You know, with Mitch Hedberg, it's, you know, heroin, cocaine with you, Greg, Adam.
See, now, cocaine is not the best drug to do on stage. That's what I've heard. Do it, but it actually isn't. It accelerates your timing. And so you almost got to like calm it down on stage, which is sometimes it's magical, but more often than not, it's not. For me, my personal formula is about three quarters of a Red Bull 2 hours before the show, and then just a couple hits of sativa about a half hour before the show. And then I'm really kind of in my best place.
Wow.
I would take Adderall, but the problem is I would do it on cruise ships, and the shows were at 8, 11 and like 12:30 at night. So my Adderall, I take it like 11:30 at night, and then I couldn't sleep.
Wow. Oh my God, yes. Yeah. You can't take it at 11:30 at night. That's crazy.
I took an Ambien. Yeah. And Ambien, I had to get off Ambien because that was the most powerful drug I ever taken in my life. I would literally wake up at night, eat everything in my fridge, right? I would start typing, and I would like the letters would get bigger. I wouldn't know what I was typing in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck did I just write? Like, I guarantee Roseanne Barr, when she wrote those racist things, she was definitely on Ambien. Now, it doesn't make you racist. She had those things in her, but had she not been on Ambien, she would not have put that, you know.
Ambien, you know, it's so funny. Flight attendants call it Ambien zombies because people will get up in the middle of the, you know, at night, everyone's asleep. And all of a sudden these guys are like walking around and they're saying things that make no sense. They realize they're on Ambien and they have to kind of physically turn them and take them back to their seats and put them back in the chair, you know.
It's scary.
It's funny. Did you watch The Queen's Gambit yet? Have you guys watched The Queen's Gambit?
I've watched on Netflix? It.
Okay, right. I love the way I just watched it finally, like this last week. And it's amazing because over Christmas, chessboard sales were like through the roof.
Yeah.
Because of The Queen's Gambit. Everybody wanted a new chessboard. And I'm watching this. I'm like, this doesn't make me want a new chessboard. This wants me to make some of those tranquilizers.
Hell yeah, dude. You play chess on the ceiling, dude.
Totally. Like, apparently, that's the secret of success, is those little green pills. Those fucking nuts. So I was like, get me those. That's the gift I would want. Jeez.
So McCorkle says he's been trying to join for 5 minutes. Is it my internet? Or are we not there yet?
Is he clicking an old link or the current link?
Go to current link. I mean, it's the same link that everyone got.
Yeah, but he may be using the old one like he already had, but that's not the one. I don't think this one from today because it stays a different time.
But you guys all, you it worked for you guys.
It worked for us.
Yes, but we're not complete morons. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Come on, Corkle, right. Don't kill me for that.
So before we get into MMA, we got to talk about, would you guys see court seat Karen from last night?
Yes. Yes, at the Lakers game.
Oh, my God. I have so much to say about, I want to get your opinion on this because my wife likes her. And I'm like, how could you, first of all, she lied. Can you play, Ween Dog? Can you find, is it Court Seat Karen?
I actually haven't even seen it.
Okay. So this woman went to a Laker game last night and I guess they're allowing fans in and got kicked out and just went off on LeBron James. I mean, off on LeBron James. And she's claiming she was defending courtside Karen. She's saying that she was defending her husband, right? And first of all, what kind of husband needs his wife to defend him? That's like, and if your husband, and if your wife's getting thrown out of the game because of you, you got to tell your wife, listen, this is embarrassing. Just calm down. It's not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. But now she's going to be famous. She knows that she's going to have her own reality show because according to her, LeBron called her a dumb bitch. I can't see LeBron calling her a stupid bitch, but I don't know. He's a heated guy. I mean,
no, not with that many cameras. Listen, if he did, then we would have video evidence. I mean, there's cameras, mics all over the place. And let's remember, he is the most brand savvy, business savvy athlete in the history of professional sports. This is a guy who's kept his nose clean for 20 years. Since he was a kid, an unprecedented run of not fucking himself. And you think he's going to throw it all away over her? I don't know. Saying, I would want to see the evidence.
And her saying, I would fuck you up. Like, okay. Like, this is that. Now we're just being stupid. Like, there's not a girl in MMA she could fuck up. Like, you're not going to fuck up any athlete ever. Male or female. I mean, she's not gonna fuck LeBron James up. I mean, people were debating whether or not
she'd probably have a good shot against me, though. Let's be clear.
Can we play the video?
Yeah.
All right. So, Sean, are you with us? What's going on?
Yeah, there you can hear me.
Yeah. What happened? I gave you the same link as everybody else.
I don't know, man. I was trying to use a hotspot to see if it would be better, but then it wouldn't go through. So I had to switch to my really shitty internet. So
that's all good, man. Well, it's good to see you. So did you see Courtside Karen last night? Sean?
I did. I heard the story. I didn't watch it or see it, but I heard about it.
Okay, so this reminds me of a girl you would date, Sean. All right, press up.
Just got kicked out of the game.
Okay.
For talking shit to LeBron James. For talking shit to my fucking husband. This is such fucking bullshit. Listen, let me tell you. LeBron James looked at my husband during the game and cussed him out, and I stood up and I go, don't fucking talk to my husband. Talk to my husband one more time and I will fuck you up. And he started fighting with me. He goes, shut your mouth, dumb bitch. And I go, you shut your fucking mouth, bitch.
That's the fuck up. That's the fuck up.
Hey.
Don't talk to my husband like that.
Oh. Sit down, please. Sit
down. Oh,
I mean.
Anyway,
there's another one where like.
This is like a 3.5 minute video.
Yeah. But there's like a more rant. Another rant.
Show when she gets up.
He's been a Hawks fan forever. He's been watching the games for 10 years, whatever. He has this issue with LeBron. I don't have an issue with LeBron. I don't give a fuck about LeBron. Anyway, I'm minding my own business, drinking my wine, having fun. All of a sudden, LeBron says something to my husband. And I stand up and go, don't fucking talk to my husband. And he looks at me and he goes, sit the fuck down, bitch. And I go, don't fucking call me a bitch. You sit the fuck down. Get the fuck out of here. And I go, don't fucking talk to my husband like that. Don't talk to my husband. And he literally was like, fuck you, bitch. Sit down, bitch. And all of a sudden, now I'm getting
kicked out. Is there any chance that that happens? I mean, Greg.
Listen, man. I mean, like I said, it's not to say that there wasn't some exchange. Obviously, there was some exchange. You know, I mean, that's what happened. According to LeBron's side, it was between him and the husband.
Yeah.
You know, and again, here's the thing. What is the likelihood that LeBron just started talking to him first? What is the likelihood that he's playing the game and just picks this dude out and is like, fuck you, Hawks fan. That doesn't happen, man. Which means that dude started with LeBron. LeBron got into a little bit with him, which I've said forever. I can't believe how close they let the fans to basketball games. I've always thought they've let fans entirely too close to the actual action at bat. They're sitting on the same fucking row as these guys sometimes. They're right. And I'm like, what the fuck? No other sport
you know what,
their fans that close to them.
What, Sean?
You know what I find most ridiculous and unbelievable about the whole story is that they're like claiming a black man would call a woman a bitch. Like, yeah, right. When has that ever happened?
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sean. The thing is, here, I mean, look, also, this is every girl that gets their boyfriend knocked out or husband knocked out.
Yeah.
This is every time you go on World Star and some dude just gets fucking shellacked. It's because a girl like this wanted to tick up for her husband, puts him in a situation where now he has to fight and he just gets murdered. But we do have a real murderer here as well as McCorkle. My man, Jake Boswick, is with us. He is undefeated in bare knuckle boxing. This dude's fights are amazing. I watched your fights, Jake. Man, you go for the knockout every single punch. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic, mate. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on the show. Yeah, man, I'm always trying to throw them haymakers. There's nothing better than, you know, knocking somebody out. So I'm always going for that.
Oh, no, it's I mean, your last fight in bare knuckle boxing, which I thought you won 3 out of 5 rounds. Then they went into overtime. You won it. Now, do you like overtime? Were you surprised? Did you even know there was an overtime?
I didn't even know that there was an overtime. I'd never heard of it. It was exciting, though. Like, I didn't care. I was already in the fight, you know. So when they came over and said there's possible an extra round, are you down? So thing, I was like, yeah, of course, you know, I'm here, son, let's go. So I felt my corner felt that I did win the fight. Also, I think there might have been a mix-up maybe on the scorecards or something, or a mistake, I don't know, but obviously, yeah, we got given the extra round. I'm happy I did. It was nice to dig deep and do something a little bit different.
There was one round though where he was just like, he must have thrown 100 punches at the end of the round. It was like, it was like 5-6 on a heavy bag, and you're just like this.
Yeah, he was,
that was crazy.
Yeah, it was a little bit close. I think it might have been the last round, and he was hitting me to the body. But then I think if you actually see in that exchange, I grabbed his head, hit him with an uppercut, and I actually rocked him. So he's hitting me with all them shots, done no damage. I hit him with one shot, and you know, I was like, okay, lovely. Just keep working up the top, and he grabs me. I remember that was the end of the end of the sixth round.
Now your whole career is crazy because you started off. You were like 2-3-0, then you went on like an 8-fight losing streak where you just kept losing, and then you went on a 10-11-fight winning streak.
Nice.
Talk to me about crazy. That. Crazy,
mate. Listen, that's right. You got to think, yeah, which I sometimes don't understand, but I started in the game when I was 16. You know, I was at school still doing my exams. I was a child, like an actual child. So the fact that, you know, I had two KOs and a TKO, and then I had my first loss, and then it just spiraled. I fought like John McGuire twice. Like, John McGuire's fought in the UFC. He's a submission specialist. I knew nothing. I legit was like street fighter / MMA fighter, like, you know, trying to figure it all out. And people take me down, ground and pound me out, you know, submissions. I've been subbed several times. So yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I think after all them losses, I think I was with my father, and I remember saying to him, like, listen, I'm gonna have like one more go at this. I think I was only young, again, like 19 or so at the time. And I was like, listen, I'm gonna have one more go at this. And I think, you know, if we get the win, you know, we'll keep pressing. If not, you know, I maybe got to think of a career. Like, what am I doing? Like, I'm like the guy people bringing in to beat up, and I didn't like that. And, you know, I can't believe I was even that person. But, you know, it's nice to look back on that and know where I'm at now. So, anyway, yeah. And I pulled off a 32-second TKO, and I was like, all right, let's go. Yeah. And then it just spiraled up from that. I had some great wins. I dropped a welterweight. I won the 170 belt. I had a 185 belt, both knockouts. I then fought on Cage Warriors, and like, I was just beating big names. Like, I did, I surprised myself, to be honest.
No, it was awesome. Crazy. And like, everyone, I think everyone got behind you too. Like, everyone loved you. You were like, I think you were like the real life Rudy.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
it was really cool to see.
I appreciate that.
Then you go to ATT, and your first training partner is Hector Lombard. And everyone says, don't train with Hector Lombard. Everyone says, this guy's going to murder you. But you like training with him.
Yep. Awesome. I loved it. People want to spar, and we'd get to spar. We'd always throw down. You know, he's always 100 miles an hour. But, solid work. At the end of the day, you're going to learn from these people. I remember I'd done a fight camp in Amsterdam at Mike's gym. And I was there for 4 months training with Melvin Hanoff, you know, and I was over there helping him spar, you know, for 4 months straight.
Wow.
You know, so, so it's a thing. I've stood in the pocket with people like that. It's, you know, it's crazy.
Now, the first time you met Hector, did he try to knock you out?
Yes.
I imagine that's only one answer to that question.
100%. No, he's cool. So I think when I first actually met him, I was quite nervous when I first met him, I'll be honest, right? And I actually really respect Hector in this aspect, right? So I'll tell you the story. It's a small story. So I know Hector through one of my good friends, Bola, from the UK, and everyone's friends with everyone sort of thing from my people back home. And then that's how I met Hector. So I actually flew on a plane with him from the UK, come out to American Top Team. And I was talking to him about, you know, fights I've had, and I've had these knockouts and them knockouts. And it could have come across like I was boasting maybe about myself, and I wasn't. I was just telling him, you know, like, I've had some good fights and stuff. And, you know, it's awesome to be with someone like yourself, being able to fight, you know, like, you're a beast, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we get to ATT, I think it was the day after. We start training. We was wrestling, and man, he was throwing me around like a ragdoll, like absolutely toying me, flipping me around, smashing me about. Like, honestly, absolutely messing me about. Anyway, Afterwards, he goes, listen, I remember you were telling me you knocked all these people out and stuff. I didn't like how you said it. Da, da, da. Like, was you sound like you got a problem. And I was like, brother, no. I was just nervous being with you. And I was just like, I've had knockouts as well, mate. Like, I just wanted to maybe try and be cool. I don't know. I wasn't trying to, like, I was like, bro.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you're a gangster, son. Like, I'm not trying to be anything right now. So I was like, completely missed it. And he was like, oh, okay. And then we were super cool and we sort of spoke it out. Yeah. So.
Yeah, sometimes things get lost in translation with him.
100%. It's like that with anybody. But he's a cool guy, man. Like, we're cool now. We say, like, I trained at his gym. I've trained with him and we still spar and stuff. So it's all cool.
Now, do you like bare knuckle boxing better than MMA?
100%, son. Mm.
Why?
Bruv, it's so raw. Like, it doesn't get more raw. And the style of bare knuckle compared to boxing with gloves and not having gloves and being able to grab the head, it's like, it's just so awesome. I just think it's so awesome. I really do.
Do you feel like it's the closest to a street fight?
100%.
Right.
100%. I think there's an event where you can headbutt and throw elbows in one country. I'm not too sure where it is, but I think that's proper raw. I think, like, being able to, like, use your head as a, you know, as a
weapon.
Would it be as a weapon? Yeah. Would it be a weapon? Yeah. I don't know. But imagine things like that. It's just an extra. But I think, like, fighting without gloves, I just think, you know, being able to, you know, your hands have got to be able to withstand punching somebody in the head, catching an elbow. Like, it's so different not having a pad on your hand. And you've got to be so much closer, you know, like, you can hold. And it is just so different. It is super, honestly, it's so fun. Like, I can't, listen, hang on, like, when I first started moving around in the fight and he jabbed me, punched me in the mouth. I was like, oh, that's son. And he hit me again. I was like, yes, this ain't too bad. Like, bro, I'm gonna hit me some shots, cut my mouth open. I was like, it legit felt the same as like a glove, just like a bit of an extra like stab, you know. But yeah, it's just raw. I just absolutely love it. I think it's so fun. It's so entertaining.
Now, how do you think the best boxers would do? Like, if Mayweather came over or some of these guys to bare knuckle boxing?
It's a tricky one. Like, it's a really difficult one, because there's good boxers on the events that, you know, that do perform really well. But, like, being able to get in the pocket and be close, like, for example, Artem Lobov, when he fought Paulie.
Yeah.
You know, Artem's more street fighter, brawly, don't mind getting in the pocket, break my hands, whatever. Paulie's, you know, punching, hands are a bit fragile, and it's a problem. You know, they're so used to all the packing on your hands and all the wrapping. Like, mate, mm-hmm. I barely wrap my hands. Like, I'm punching, smashing things all the time. Like, my hands are solid. Like, and I'm confident in that. Some people like that, maybe even Mayweather, his hands are probably super small.
Yeah.
Super small, super fragile. Now, he can't, his style of boxing would have to be a little bit different. You can't throw a bunch of shots. Like, you can, but you can't. Like, you break your hands super easy or whatnot, you know? So I think people like that to transfer over, it could be an issue, but I don't know.
I don't know,
it's a tricky one, really.
I saw on your Instagram, you train with Jake Paul. Now, I got full disclosure, I'm a Ben Askren fan. He's a good friend of mine. I really want Ben Askren to win. But I'm getting nervous because I saw you post how good this guy Jake Paul is. Tell me about what that sparring was like.
Sparring was super interesting. He's actually, in person, he was super humble, super respectful, super polite, like nothing like what people would expect. And I was expecting that and I was hoping for that. So it was quite interesting to meet the dude. But, like, the way he come across and the way, you know, he was warming up and even getting prepared and, like, listen to his corner and, like, mate, like, he's working, son. He's super interesting. Interesting character.
So you guys, how many rounds did you guys spar?
We done three rounds, but we've got more sparring in the works.
So you had three rounds. Now, did you win all three rounds? Because you put in the comments, he did better than a lot of pros did against you.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that he beat me up. I'm saying he put me with some nice shots and certain angles. I'm not saying that that's the aspect. Right. But nah, man, like, straight up, like, we got to understand he's a big guy. The dude's over 6 foot. Like, he's solid. He uses his range super well. You know, he really sits his weight great on the end of his shots. So, like, I did, I respected his boxing before he even started, because I was like, I'm going to go in there lighthearted, you know. And I went in there, obviously, Canelo, moving my head around.
Yeah.
They loved my sparring. They loved my work, you know, so that's why I'm going back. But, yeah, it was just, I don't know. No, it's just pretty, I don't know. I pressed him all the rounds because that's what they wanted from an MMA standpoint. You know, he's fighting an MMA guy, and that's how I fight anyway. So, stylistically, for him to spar me made sense, you know, trying to press forward like an MMA guy trying to throw shots, you know.
But you said Ben Askren's in trouble.
Yeah, because, you know, I think that he might catch him and he might hurt him.
All right, Wayne Dog, can you post Ben Askren's post from Instagram yesterday?
Yeah, I don't want to, because every time I look at it, I want to cry.
Yeah,
but yeah, a lot I'll look for it.
Let me see it, son. Let me see it.
All right,
so that's what makes this such a genius move on Jake Paul's part. Is he picked the one MMA guy with the worst fucking boxing?
Go on. Anything you want to say about this, McCorkle? By the way, this is Sean McCorkle.
Yeah, I take exception to Greg saying that Askren has the worst boxing in all of MMA, because I'm pretty sure I do. But other than that, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
But he's really pressing for number two then.
All right, here we go. Huh.
All right, so here's Ben Askren yesterday sparring.
Come on, little girl.
There he is.
Getting ready.
Is that a bag with Jake Paul in it?
Yeah.
I mean, based on this.
He looks fast.
Does he look fast? His hands are low. He's
awful. It looks like he's taking a class at 24-hour fitness.
This is not good.
Look at his balance. Look at the way he's leaning. Oh, my God.
I mean, he's not really standing like a boxer, right?
Okay, so look.
It can't be like legit, though. He has to be doing this as like a joke.
I mean, yeah. According to Darren Till, Ben looks like he's punching a steak, not getting ready for a fight. That's what Darren Till wrote. Weendo, can you get rid of this?
Yeah.
Jake, what are your thoughts?
It's pretty shocking. I'm sorry.
Right, you know, that's not here to insult, to
but
watch.
At the end of the day, I would never post something like that. No,
no, I mean, is Ben gonna get killed? I mean, talk to us, Jake.
At the end of the day, I've only had 3 rounds of him. You know, for someone like me to say, like, who am I to say? You know, I'm just fucking Jake Buswick, can I? So, at the end of the day, who knows? But at the end of the day, if Ben, you know, keeps his hands up and hopes that he don't get banged out.
Oh, man. How do we stop this from happening? Did you watch Masvidal spar with him?
No, I haven't seen him work with him.
Okay, but you train with Masvidal, right?
No, I used to be at American Top Team. I'm not there no more. I'm just with Phil Daru and at the Boca Pal with Derek and Maureen.
Okay,
Derek Santos, my boxing coach.
Now, did you used to train with Colby Covington?
He was also at the gym. I never really, again, like, worked with him or partnered up with him too much. Super polite guy, though. Again, yeah, not the same as you'd see.
What happens? All these guys are polite when they're around you, and they go
crazy,
on social media, and
yeah,
they become.
He'll say your name and everything. Oh, hello, Jake. How are you? Eye contact. Super polite. Mad, bro.
So Don Fry finally figured out how to get on the podcast. Don, how are you?
Hey. Fuck you.
What's going on,
Don? You give me bad numbers, man. You give me a fake phone number, you little bitch.
All right, everybody else in the podcast got through, except for you, all right?
Yeah, because you don't want me on at the beginning, you know. You want to bring me in the middle, you know, because otherwise I'll take over. I'll own this podcast.
All right.
I want to see this dude.
Right, he's number one. He's number
right,
one.
So right now we're talking to Jake Buswick, who is a bare knuckle boxer, undefeated in bare knuckle boxing. Don, back in the day, you didn't have gloves. You were also the original bare knuckle boxer. They didn't have gloves back then. This guy he's legitimately a badass. When's your next fight, Jake?
I'm not too sure. So we're trying to get on maybe the next event after this bare knuckle. I don't know if they were trying to shoot around March time, but again, no contract signed. There's nothing set in stone. So hopefully in the next couple months, though.
Yeah, this Friday night, by the way, bare knuckle boxing, Paige VanZant is making her bare knuckle boxing debut. I'm excited for that. I hope she wins.
It's going to be exciting. I'm super excited. I'm going to be there.
Is that Friday night?
Yeah, that's Friday night.
Friday night, okay.
Now, she says that people look better with scars. Do you agree with that? Don, do you agree?
Men do. I don't think women do. I think a woman's skin is the most beautiful thing, you know, to feel and touch and look at. And I don't like scars. I don't like tattoos on them. Shit.
Yeah, well,
I'm with Don.
What about a C-section scar, Don? How do you feel about that?
What's that? C-section.
How do you feel about C-section scars?
It depends on how big it is, partner.
Now, by the way, so Don, Jake is kind of like a guy like you, where he just gets in there and just trades punches. He just basically, like your fight with Takeyama, a lot of his fights are just him and the other guy just winging at each other until somebody falls down.
Respect, man. I've seen you fight. You're a beast.
So
you're not too smart either then, huh?
Nah, bro. Mate, I am not. I tell everyone that. I just know how to throw my hands, son. That's it. Get paid.
Yeah.
So this fight...
I hope you know how to move your head. I never learned that one.
Yeah, it's something I actually do. So it's I'm definitely an up-and-comer, mate, for sure. I'm definitely finding a lot of head movement in there. For sure.
So this Friday night is called Knucklemania.
Said, brother.
Is it my dodgy accent, son?
Speak English?
Yeah, bro, I'm speaking English. I'm from London.
You know, Don, that's where they invented this language.
They didn't do a good job of it. It took the United States of America to fix it.
Bro, so cool. Oh, you're funny.
No, yeah, the greatest.
Your words are definitely better. We just say everything better.
So this Friday night, Knuckle Mania, bare knuckle boxing on the Fight TV app. You can watch Paige VanZant fighting Britton Hart. Britton Hart is 4-4. She's got a loss to Rowdy Beck, but she's what? She's hot. Yeah, Paige VanZant. She said haters won't say anything to her face. I'm like, that's because they're not looking at your face. Also, that win is fighting Johnny Bedford. Johnny Bedford is another badass. He's a guy. He's from Indiana, I think. Bedford, right? Sean,
I haven't heard of him.
All right, cool.
I know Dylan Kleckler's a friend of mine is fighting. Dylan Kleckler's my buddy. He's fighting on there. He's a knockout guy. I think 10-1 in MMA. So his fight would be a good one too.
Sean, has anybody ever
a knockout guy? Does that mean good looking or what?
Sorry, anybody approach you to do bare knuckle boxing?
Ironically, he is.
I suspected that about you.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jake Boswick, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, man.
No problem. Where can people follow you?
Follow me on my Instagram, Brutal Boswick. Facebook, Jake Brutal Boswick. I haven't actually got my Twitter up and running, but yeah, just my IG is really my main form of platform.
Now I'm there. You go.
Well, nice meeting your partner. Hope next time you come with subtitles.
All right, bro. Listen, I look forward to hopefully meeting you one day, son. We can have a drunk punch picture together. That'd be awesome.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Love it. Much love, people. Take it easy.
Peace.
Take care, brother. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, man.
All right. So that was Jake Boswick. You would never know the guy's a fucking straight killer. He's such a nice guy.
Dude, I don't know. You look at him he looks like a straight killer. You don't look at that guy and think nice guy. For those of you who are listening to the audio,
I was wondering how long it's going to take us to talk bad about him now that he's off the fucking phone.
What's up, people? The wait is finally over. Football is back. Look, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. I start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Saying this to his face, are you kidding me? For three quarters of the interview, I couldn't see him. I could only hear him. And I thought he was black. Legitimately, I thought he was a black guy. And yeah. then I heard him call a woman a bitch. And I was like, well, no black guy does that. So he can't be black. He must be white. So.
All right. That's the McCorkle. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. So
that's the McCorkle McCorner.
I feel like there's a theme to your comments tonight. So this is all right. So let's talk about some of the fights this week. Okay. Great card this week. Fucking great card. What was that, Greg? You want to say something?
I was going to say, what's his name? Chris Lieben, is that right? Chris Lieben is going to be fighting in this bare knuckle thing. It's good to see him back.
Is he on the card? Who's on
the card? Yeah, it looks like he's number three on the card. And you know, I mean, listen, good for him, man. That's a tough guy that I think is going to do great in bare knuckle.
Yeah, well, he beat up Baroni pretty quick. Baroni kept going for takedowns though. and then also Mark Coleman got him drunk for the fight, according to him.
I like Chris Lieben. He's one of those guys that, you know, was always right there in the UFC. And it's nice to see him have somewhere to go. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's one of those guys, natural born fighter. Oh, it's good to see him doing some stuff.
I remember when Rogan saying, Chris Lieben's a zombie. I mean, there were fights where I think it was that Aaron Simpson fight. He took so many punches to the face. I just kept coming. I mean, you couldn't put away Chris Lieben.
I love the guy. I think he's a great fighter. It's good to see him have I'm probably going to order these fights now just because I want to see the Chris Lieben fight.
Well, he lost his last fight to Dakota Joe
Rogan said that guy's a zombie. And then Brendan Schaub said, some people say the zombiest.
he lost his last fight to Dakota Cochran, who's undefeated in bare knuckle boxing. Dakota Cochran is a guy who was on The Ultimate Fighter, and he didn't make the house. And he kind of, I wouldn't say he's a journeyman, but he had some up and downs. And in bare knuckle boxing, he's beaten Chris.
That's what he's famous for.
Well, I'm gonna ignore the other part, okay? But in bare knuckle boxing, he beat Johnny Hendricks and Chris Lieben. This guy.
Wait, whoa, time out. Now we got to know what this other thing is. Because I don't know, and now we're dancing around it, and other people are going to wonder,
when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, it came
just
out.
Just Google Dakota Cochran video.
Okay, he did a couple pornos that were
just Google it.
Some gay porn. But that was when he was in college. And I guess he needed some money, and now he's happily married with a wife and kid. And
I needed money in college, and I never went that way. I found other ways. I found other ways to make money.
Well, I guess they didn't have an axe throwing contest in his college.
Yeah, they had an axe swallowing contest.
Oh, bing, bing! He's the counterpuncher.
I think Dakota would laugh at these jokes because I made 10,000 jokes about him. But when he came on the podcast. He listens to the show, and he's like, "Can you please not mention?" I was like, "No problem."
You make jokes?
Yeah, once in a while. So Don Fry's on fire today.
He is on fire. Did you drink a Red Bull before this, Don? We're getting some hot Don today.
Now you know why he gave me a fake phone number, huh?
All right. Queen Dog, did I give him a fake phone number?
Probably rode a Red Bull before he got on here.
Then he killed it, sliced it, made his own jerky, and is chewing it right now.
I went to college. I never did gay porn. I don't even believe he went to college. By the way,
I was like, what college was this?
By the way, as long as
that's the part you believe, you know.
By the way, they had a on the underground, they had a poll, what college had the best wrestlers in MMA? And it was between OSU and ASU. Because you gotta go, OSU has Cormier, Hendricks, Fry, Randy Couture. I mean, those four all went to OSU. And then this Kyle Crushmeyer, who's coming out. ASU had Cain Velasquez, Ryan Bader, CB Dalloway, a couple other guys. But it was pretty close, actually. I think Townsend Saunders went to ASU. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I'd say Ryan Bader is the best one out of the bunch after me.
Better than Randy Couture?
Yes.
What? Wow. Come on.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Yes. No. Randy
Ryan
was like
a fight. Ryan Bader fight. Randy just out-conditioned, out-wrestled anybody. He only had two fucking fights, and that was against Chuck Liddell.
Randy Couture beat Vitor Belfort, Tim Sylvia.
He out-wrestled and out-conditioned everybody. Same thing he did, you know, in wrestling. He didn't fight. He, you know.
But you don't think, like, but you wouldn't put, like, GSP or Khabib in that category of guys who out-wrestled guys who to win fights?
Yeah, but they throw punches and kicks too, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Randy threw punches. All right, fine.
Not a lot.
I will go on record thinking that Randy Couture had the better MMA career than Ryan Bader. But I understand. I mean, he was a 2-time UFC champion, or 3-time, right? Where Bader never
what
won.
What about Cain Velasquez?
He beat fucking Tim Sylvia. Come on. You can beat Tim Sylvia.
Maybe in like a race. Come on, Tim Sylvia fucking was pretty good. I mean, no,
oh my god, you're out of your fucking mind.
He was a UFC champion.
Yeah, when it was the lowest it's ever been. It was lower than this now.
Well, still a but still a UFC champion. I mean, how low could it be if you're fucking if you're the best guy in Ultimate Fighting?
Well, if nobody shows up, you know.
Nobody showed up? Nobody? Come on.
A little dry spell. You took advantage of a little dry spell there. Come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, McCorkle, how come you're so opinionated on Facebook, but then here you just laugh the whole time? All right. Okay. Who had the better MMA career? Fucking Randy Couture or Ryan Bader?
Cain Velasquez. Bader's probably I don't know. I mean, Couture, you talking about who would win or who got the better career, I guess. Who would win in a fight?
Who's the better fighter?
I think Bader would beat him in a fight if they're both in their prime. But I think Bader would beat him in a fight, both in their prime. I do have a question for Don Fry that I've always been curious about. By the way, I got like a 5-second delay, so if things are weird, that's why.
Oh, we know.
I wonder who Don Fry thinks would win. Who's the best fighter? Alrighty. Who, in Don Fry's opinion, who is the best fighter he's ever seen, ever, like, if, and not like like pound for pound, but regardless of weight class, if you put two guys in a room, who do you think who would win of all the greats? Like, you know, like Fedor, Tim Sylvia, Cain Velasquez, like that. Who does he think the best fighter ever is? Not for their size, but in general.
Oh, fuck. That's hard. That's hard because, you know, like you said, you threw Fedor's name in there. Then you have John Jones. And then you have Khabib, you know. But you're looking at a 50-pound weight difference, you know. But talent-wise, those guys are equal. Ooh. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You had Fedor. Fedor fought all the fucking monsters, you know, that were out there. You know, yeah. He didn't duck anybody. They threw him the best, you know, and they just wore him out. They wore that guy out. That's what happened to everybody over there in Japan. And that's why they came back from Japan. They already had a stellar career. I mean, a career that most people wouldn't have been able to survive half of, you know, and these guys had a career against monsters, and then when they came to the UFC, they were worn out, man. They were done, and you're talking a different style by the ropes and the cage, you know, and the fans, you know, and then obviously by the testing, you know.
But Don, that's
important to mention. Good one.
That's
Don.
What I think people forget about Fedor. I feel like time is not on his side as far as, like, I feel like his name is getting left off list now more and more, but then he beat Mark Coleman twice. I mean, Mark Coleman was like the perfect fighter. And he beat him twice, you know?
Well, you know, Coleman was a monster, and you know, he was about the same category as Couture, in that he just out wrestled people. He didn't out condition anybody, but he out wrestled people because he was a fantastic wrestler. But where the hell was I going with this?
About Fedor beating him twice.
Well, and, you know, you were saying that some guys get a lot left. Listen, with all due respect, I think Don Fry is in that category. I feel like people don't remember the greatness of Don Fry the way they should.
That's where I was going. Who's the guy you had on a couple shows ago? He said he never saw me fucking fight before, and he saw my fight at UFC 9. And he said, geez, you're a fucking monster, you know? Criminy. So, I mean, there's people who, they don't even go beyond, you know, UFC 100, you know, and look at the fighters. So they sure the hell don't go beyond UFC 50 or 20 or 10.
Dude, first of all, fans are great.
At the beginning.
Yeah, 100%. I actually wrote a joke last week.
I think Fedor and Cain Velasquez, both in their prime, are 1 and 2. Like, I think a prime Cain Velasquez or prime Fedor beats John Jones. I know they beat Khabib because they're just so much bigger. But I think those two, to me, I think Cain and Fedor in their prime are the two best ever. 1 and 2, whichever one you want to put it first.
I think Cain's overrated.
Thank you, Don. I'm with you on that one.
Wow.
I think the reason they pushed Cain so hard was because of his Mexican heritage and they wanted the money from Mexico.
Ay, ay, ay.
They had to pay for that wall, remember?
Hold on, Senor Don. You cannot talk this way about mi gente.
Hey, McCorkle, man, if you would have started earlier, I would have put you in a fucking one of the top 10 guys, for real. For a guy that started when he was 27 to make it to the UFC, forget about it.
29 actually. But, and took 3 years off after surgery in the middle. So I really started at 34, or 33. Yeah. Because I had back surgery about 6 months after I started training jiu-jitsu and was out for 2.5 years. So.
Fuck, it's crazy. So this week we got All-Star Overeem taking on Volkov. You guys better watch this.
You got Pro Overeem in that batch too, man. We got that guy, he's been fighting for 20 fucking years now, you know?
Yeah, so
he was roided up. He was scary, man. When he fought Todd Duffy, that version of Overeem was scary.
Yeah, well, Duffy came to that fight on like 3 days' notice wearing wrestling shoes. I was like, dude, why are you wearing wrestling shoes in the?
Overeem's one of those guys that he loses a fight, you think he's done forever. Then he comes back and beats somebody huge. Like, he's one of those guys that I always think he's done and he's never done.
Well, he was beating Rosenstreich until he got uppercut and his fucking head flew off. But he was winning that fight. I mean, he would have won that fight if the hype hadn't got caught. So who do we win this fight?
But Overeem came from the kickboxing school or school of kickboxing to where you did lose and you came back and you lost. You didn't lose and then you went into hiding and feeling sorry for yourself, you know, and have to go to recovery and all that shit. You know, I mean, that was part of life, you know. You get your ass kicked and then you come back.
Yeah, these kids have it too easy, John. Too easy. They don't know how to come back. They lose, they leave town.
Yeah.
Don Fry used to walk 7 miles to the cage, uphill both ways to get there. No,
with a giant sore on my back.
Everything.
So who do we think wins this fight? Overeem or Volkov? I'm going Overeem in this one.
I am too.
Overeem.
Don? Yeah, Overeem.
McCorkle?
Overeem's going to take him down and beat him up. I don't think he'll stand with him. I think he'll take him down and probably finish him.
All right. Also on this card, Frankie Edgar taking on Corey Sanhagen. This is tough.
Tough.
I can never pick against Frankie. Frankie's my guy.
I know.
I love Frankie. This one's hard though. I really want Frankie Edgar to win. I can't believe he's still fighting at this level right now. You look at the guy. I mean, he started a long time ago, but his last fight, he looked great. I thought he did. I thought the Ortega fight and the Korean Zombie fight were two fights where, like, okay, maybe it's time. And then he just comes back. Who do we like in this fight? Don Fry, Frankie Edgar, or Corey Sandhagen?
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going with Frankie. I don't know anything about the other guy. But, you know, I'm a fan of Frankie's. And it shocked the hell out of me when Ortega picked him up off his feet, you know, with that one hit, you know. And I told Ortega that the next day. I was, you know, I got to shake your hand. I've never seen, you know, never thought it would be, you know, possible somebody would do that to Frankie Edgar, you know.
Well, this other guy's really good. The guy he's fighting is 13-2. He had a crazy spinning kick knockout his last fight. I think it was like a wheel kick. His only loss is to Aljamain Sterling, and then a loss earlier. He's tough. The other guy's really, really tough. He also has a podcast with Mitch Fattel, which I think is kind of interesting.
It's interesting. That's a unique combination. Okay.
So who do we like in this fight?
He's got to be tough for that, right?
Exactly. Mitch Fattel's hilarious. Greg Wilson, who wins this fight?
I got to tell you, the one thing about it is that Corey Sandhagen's a longer fighter, which not by much, but by enough. And it might be enough. And I got it. And listen, every time he's one of those fighters. Anytime I say I vote against him, they make me look stupid. But again, make me look stupid. I think Sandhagen.
Wean Dog?
I think Sandhagen is probably going to win, but I can 100% see Frankie Edgar pulling off the victory. I can see him, you know, having Sandhagen on his back against the cage for the entire three rounds. And Frankie being a +300 underdog is fairly surprising for this fight.
That is very surprising.
If you're a betting man, I mean, it might be wise to put a couple bucks down on Frankie.
Sean?
I'm going to go with Corey, man, primarily because the UFC matchmakers are – I mean, they could probably tell you 90% of the time who's going to win, and they like to build guys up using guys with a name like Frankie Edgar. So if they're putting Sandhagen in with Edgar at this stage in his career, my guess is they want Sandhagen to win, and they're going to try to use, what's Frankie to build him up would be my guess. So I'd have to go with Corey on this one.
Yeah, but every time they try to use Frankie like that – What's that?
Is that the UFC match that Donald Cerrone is the opening?
What?
You got to
Donald
ride back in the town opening. To get a new server, Don.
Something about Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone is like the guy that they do to build other guys up. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they had him as opening a couple years back.
Yeah. They were trying to do Donald Cerrone, but then Cerrone kept beating those guys. And then Cerrone kept beating those guys and then getting like a title shot and then losing. Like, it was like he kept going from gatekeeper to contender. But yeah.
And Frankie's not the guy you want to throw at somebody to build them up, in my opinion. I think that's a recipe for disaster. Because if Frankie feels that that's what you're doing, then he's not going to lose.
Yeah, I totally agree. Also on this card, Macy Chasen. She's the one that won the Ultimate Fighter, right? She's like super strong. She's fighting Marion Renault, who's like this hot girl from, I think she's Venezuelan or she's Bolivian, and she's a teacher. It's like a hot school teacher, but like sexy Bolivian chick.
You say so. She's from Belize.
Oh, Belize.
She's Belizean.
Yeah, she's Belizean. Yeah. I'm telling dude, trust me. Wean Dog, can you put up hot Mario No pictures, please? I'm not fucking saying this just to I'm telling you. I mean, and we told her this before on the show. This is not me just like I know recently someone got in trouble for saying something about Megan Anderson. I think it was some fighter said that
it was Casey Kenny.
Yeah, he said that she was a six. And he wouldn't throw her out of bed or something, but he would tell her to go. And then she found out about it and got mad. And it was just like, it was just a thing. And I was like, ugh.
Wait a minute. Was she mad because he said she was a six? Or she's like, I'm a 7.5.
I think she was mad because they're like, they work together. And it was one of those things where she was like.
So she just thought it was disrespectful for him to be saying those things because they know each other.
Yeah, okay. But the guy
that makes more sense.
Well, the guy that asked the question was the guy, is O'Malley's friend, Tim Welch. He's like his trainer. He said, oh, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I think you're hot as fuck. It really wasn't much of an apology.
I was going to say, I don't know how much that saves it, but okay.
Hey,
oh, I love it. I love it.
Okay. Sorry, we can't talk the same
thing. I love it how women want to be treated as equals until, you know, it hurts their feelings. And then they want to be treated, you know, like ladies. But you're a fucking fighter. You're not a lady. Okay.
I think it was the ranking she had a problem with.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, Angela Hill says she's not going to comment because she made like a list of most fuckable guys in the UFC or something, which she's married. I wouldn't want my wife making most fuckable lists of guys.
I looked on her website.
I was about to say that you're not following her on social media because I hate to tell you.
At the same time, I understand. I get it. I mean, but she'll make a comment sometimes.
That would be a funny way for your wife to actually get your attention is to release her own list of most fuckable fighters. That would be the first thing that you would of hers that you would notice.
Well, I'd be more mad at the fighter on the list that would come back and be like, by the way, and then want her number. By the way, Jake Paul, it used to be that people were off limits, like wives and kids. That was the thing. But Jake Paul has been DMing Ben Askren's wife, like all day long, like writing messages. He even admits it. What would you do, Sean?
You know, it's weird. I heard the UFC has a list of most fuckable fighters too that they use during the contract negotiations.
But Sean, what would you do if somebody was DMing your wife, a fighter was?
That you're going to fight.
Yeah.
I guess it would depend on if she was DMing them back or not, I guess would be the first question I had. Right. And then I would probably I'd probably pay her back by DMing Dakota Cochran and trying to bang him.
I mean, but would you get mad at the fighter, though? The guy you're going to fight? Would you tell him, hey, man, knock it off?
You know, man, if you have a girlfriend or wife that's good looking, you can't be mad at guys for trying to hit them up because, I mean, a straight man should be doing that, probably not someone's wife, but their girlfriend. But no, only if they get disrespectful. And I, like me and my girlfriend, and any girl I've ever dated had an agreement that we don't talk to members of the opposite sex we're not related to. You know, like for any reason, friends or not friends, any guy who says he's pursuing a friendship with a woman is either.
Yeah.
Like any man who says he's pursuing a friendship.
Okay. All right. Okay. Don.
Will not talk to a married woman on the telephone. That's all there is to it. You know.
That's right. He sends a message by carrier pigeon.
Wait, Don. Yeah. What if it's somebody like calling you from like the bank or something? I mean, and she has you owe like a bill.
He says, "Are you married?" First thing.
You won't talk to her.
No, not only is it such a disrespectful format, it's that I have some integrity, my own integrity, that I won't do that.
So, Don, what would you do if, like, let's say you're fighting, like, back when you were fighting Ken Shamrock, and Shamrock, like, emailed your wife at the time to get under your skin, would you tell him to knock it off or what?
You know, I found an email of a guy who was emailing my wife, and it was kind of explicit, and I got on there as she did, as I was her, and I said, "You got a little dick, you know," and it must have been true because this guy lost his fucking mind, you know.
Side note: the police are still trying to find his body.
Yeah.
Don Fry Jr. If somebody was emailing your wife, what would you do, Don Fry Jr.?
First thing I do. And I go right over to his house, and I would have a hot dog sandwich. I'd rip his dick off, and then I'd squeeze his nuts for the mayo, and then I'd serve it to his face.
Wow. That's crazy. Now, would you ever...
It'd be his first and last weenie roast.
Now, would you ever DM...
This guy had a Vienna sausage.
Now, would you ever DM someone's wife you were fighting? Don Fry Jr.?
Of course I would, but that's just to respond to her because they all try to get a piece of the fry.
That's true. That's true. That's from God himself. Yeah.
Love Don Fry. God bless Don Fry.
All right. So also on this card, this guy, Michael Cape, who's an amazing kickboxer. He's got some crazy knockouts. He's fighting Alexander Pandoja. Benil Dariush, who we've had on the show before, might be the nicest human being ever. During his off time, he doesn't want me saying this, but he goes to and builds churches in like third world countries. The guy could not have been nicer. He's fighting Diego Ferreira, who's 17-2, who says wins over Anthony Pettis. This guy's got some major wins, but never fights for some reason. This should be a good fight. Who do we like in this fight? Sean McCorkle.
I'm going to root for the missionary house builder, even though I've never seen either of them fight, because that sounds like a great guy. So either way, my money's on him.
And can I tell you, my money's on the other guy for the same reason.
Well, the thing is, the guy goes down there to ask for stuff to beat on people, you know, because he can't get he's too cheap to hire sparring partners. So he goes down there and beats on third world people.
Third world people? I don't know if they want to be called third world people, Don. But I
is that not politically correct? Oh my god!
I think it's fine. I think it's all right.
All right. I'll, on the undercard, Michael Johnson is fighting
beats on third world people.
Michael Johnson is fighting Clay Guida on the undercard. This should
interesting. Oh my god!
they're gonna be fighting next year in bare knuckle boxing, followed by. Exactly. I don't know if that was a laugh or Don had a heart attack. Should be a good fight. Michael Johnson has to not find a way to lose this fight. Every fight he wins like three quarters of the fight and then gets caught in a heel hook or a guillotine or he hops out of the cage or he fucking slips on a banana peel. He somehow finds ways to lose fights. He's always winning. And Clay Guida just shows up to every fight. I mean, that dude... You know, but I think that his brother punching him in the face before the fight is taking a toll on him because he seems like he's rocked for the fight even starts. Jason Guida. Because Jason Guida is getting bigger and bigger. Now he must be like 300 pounds. Have you ever met Jason Guida, Sean?
Oh, yeah. We had a big rivalry back then. He was going to stab me at some show I was fighting at in Illinois because me and him got into it. It's a long story. There's actually some of it on YouTube. But no, Jason Guida sucks, and so does Clay. And Clay, he's not worried just so much about losing a fight. He better worry about losing some more of his hair because that fucker's got, like, nothing on top, and he keeps wrapping around that mullet he's got going trying to cover it up. They both all suck. Right. I can't stand either of them.
All right. So, that's
fine.
Wait, can you tell what happened with Jason Guida? Tell us what happened.
Oh, God, dude. It's a really long story, but it started off he tried to attack a ref that was a friend of mine and start talking shit to him mid-fight. This is in the unregulated days, and then I was cornering a fighter and he said told me to shut the fuck up, and I was like, bitch, you just got kicked off the Ultimate Fighter for being a half pound over 206 and you're like fucking 5'4", you know what I mean? Like, there's no explanation or no excuse for it. And he started running his mouth, and so then he became my Jesse Parsley. Like, I just kept going on and on for months, and then Monty Cox told me when he set up a fight for me to watch out, because word on the street was that Jason Guida was going to try to stab me at the fight from the crowd, because he certainly wouldn't fight me in the cage. So,
wow. Don Fry, thoughts? Don?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Sean's story?
Yeah, I mean, hell, I want voice so shit. I gotta understand that.
I think he said he wants to stab you too, Sean.
apparently, Don's going through a tunnel.
All right, that's it, man.
I don't want to use the knife. I don't want to use the knife to stab him with. He's so good looking.
I thought you wouldn't do that even in college.
Yeah, I'm out of college, baby.
Well, the real question is, the question I have for Don is, if he were in a gay marriage and Dakota Cochran emailed his husband, what would he do?
Not again.
Not again.
Oh, my God. All right. Also on this card, a couple other really good fights on this card. Tamir Valiyev is fighting on this card. Molly Meatball Molly McCann. from Scotland. Her name is Meatball Molly, fighting Lara Propocio. Should be a good fight. But those are the big ones that we covered already, as well as the bare knuckle boxing card this week.
I gotta tell you, Lara looks a little more like the meatball than Molly does. I'm just saying. I mean, it's if you're looking at them.
So how's your podcast going so far, Sean? With you and Severn.
You know, it's kind of hitting some walls that we have not foreseen. So it takes some bad turns here and there, but we better get our shit together because we've got a former Navy SEAL by the name of Ray Cash coming in on February 6th. So if we don't have our shit together by then, you won't be hearing from us, I don't think.
All right, you got to get somebody young who wants yes. to get technology.
Sounds like the walls you're running into are, I wouldn't see either of you guys as being big tech nerds. So I feel like you got to find yourself a wing dog, man. You got to get yourself someone who knows what the fuck is going. Cause I don't know it either. I don't, you know, I'm no better than you probably. So, but I would imagine that's probably 90%.
It isn't that hard to get like a Zoom mic and like, 2 or 3 microphones that just record. I mean, meet somewhere and like record something. No,
that's a lot of trips into town.
He's got to hitch his horse to the Best Buy. Very good.
Now, what are these walls you're running into?
We just having some artistic differences, I believe.
Like,
well, there you go.
But one of you can have the mustache. Is that what it is? There's only room for one mustache in this podcast.
That's it, baby.
Stash to stash.
What do you mean artistic? That you guys are both. That's what
I watched a podcast with Vlad, or an interview with Vlad and Don Severn and Don Fry, or Dan Severn and Don Fry, and Don couldn't get a word in, man.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I like Dan Severn, but man, he wouldn't let Don say 2 words.
Oh, is that the problem, Don?
Oh no, I'm more than willing to let Dan lead on the dance. You know, I don't care. I mean, you know, Dan got me involved in this race, and. He's the man in my book. But, you know, a lot of people busted on Dan's ass about that, and I feel bad for him.
So, well, he doesn't realize that he's the steak, but you're the sizzle.
That's it, baby.
So, Don, is that you're too real and Dan's more PC? Is that the problem?
You know, that could be a possibility. I mean, there's a lot of the PC culture that's not real enthused about me having a podcast and speaking the truth. So, you know, there's problems in that area.
Well, man, you just keep being you. We love it over here, that's for sure.
That's why you gave me the wrong number. Yeah.
I swear on my life, I gave everyone the same link. I swear to God, everyone got the same link. I mean, you're the missing link, but everyone got the same link for the podcast, right? So, Wing Dog, what's going on with you?
Not much, dude. I'm enjoying watching all the UFCs at the, like, I'm on like UFC 58 or something. Just before you end the podcast, I thought it was so goddamn funny. Jason Mayhem Miller, his first fight against GSP, Mayhem's corner was saying, use your retard strength. And Joe Rogan on the commentary was saying, his corner is saying that he has retard strength on the live broadcast. And I'm like,
wow,
it doesn't get much better than this, dude. I mean, it's crazy watching these old UFCs, but go follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at the Ween Dog.
They were saying use your retard strength.
Yeah, that was Mayhem's corner. I was like,
you know what though? When you think about it, that really kind of lines up.
Mayhem.
Well,
with Mayhem, like, what's he gonna respond to?
The culture wasn't that sensitive back then, okay?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, one time he had a fight when he went to Italy and he missed weight by 27 pounds. Matt Horwitz, Matt Horwitz was in his corner reading the Bible the whole time. like he brought the book and just started reading the Bible while the
guy because when you're 27 pounds over, you're going to need a miracle.
Yeah.
So it kind of lines up. Again, it kind of lines up.
He said, Mayhem said he looked at the corner and goes, how much time is left around? He goes, what?
He goes, John 3:16.
Like, 27 pounds.
Oh, dude, one of the funniest, there was some funny, like sometimes the corner man is hilarious, or the interpreter. Like there was a boxing match where like Ricardo Mayorga was like the worst. He would come into the boxing ring drinking beers and partying, like walking into the ring smoking cigarettes, and he
that's awesome.
He would throw gang punches, like winging it, and he knocked out like the champ. He knocked out the Vernon Forrest, who beat Mosley, and then smoked a cigarette afterwards. But the first time he fought Forrest, he was to say the most outlandish things he would say about people. I want to fuck your mom and your wife and you're this and I'm going to do this and that. So first time he's fighting Forrest, he gets hit. He goes to the corner and he goes blah 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 blah. And the translator goes, he said that black gentleman hits hard. I'm like, I'm not really sure that's what he said.
Pretty sure gentleman wasn't part of that.
Like what? Like the interpreters are always the funniest. So what did your corner tell you during your fights?
I always like I just really want to know the time.
Let that black gentleman hit you.
Not one time in 27 fights. Not one. They were like Don Fry's talking shit about you doing commentating. No, not one time did I ever get the time during a fight. I would always ask, please just let me know how much time's left because I'm going to be tired 30 seconds in. But I midway through my career, I changed. You know, I want to be more politically correct with people, so I insist that they just yell at me, use your Down syndrome strength, and that always helps. <very much. laughs>
Did you ever see what like Norm Macdonald? You ever see what like Norm?
What's that?
Remember when like Norm Macdonald?
He's my favorite comedian.
Yeah, Norm like pissed everybody off, and then his apology was like, you'd have to have Down syndrome to think that like that I was being serious.
Oh, that's right.
And then he had to apologize to that.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That was really at the forefront of the PC movement. You know.
That's because
Norm also said
Down syndrome people going to kick comedy clubs.
Yeah. What was that, Sean? All right. Is there any way?
Is he talking about Brendan Schaub again?
All right, both guys. Listen, I love this podcast. I love it. I just see it could be so much better if we had people talking in real time. Is there any way we could see Don Fry next week and McCorkle? Is there any way that we could get you guys to actually like?
I will go. I'll go to my parents' house and use their cable modem. So yes.
All right, Don.
You just got to remind me to call and get a better phone system. I mean, that's the problem. I forget. five seconds after we hang up, I'm watching butterflies.
But how let's do you just think- wait a minute. Let's just make a list of things we need to get Don Fry: a server, a phone system, okay, and I think Bri, a fax machine.
But Don, how do you make real phone calls? Like, are all your calls like this?
Yeah, I don't call on anybody. You know, I don't like people. You know?
I'm with you, Don. I'm the same way. That phone rings, I'm like, Adam, who's calling me? Fuck that. I'm not answering.
Yeah. Right.
And Sean, how's your pit bull farm?
Doing good. You guys ruined my joke earlier. My dog comes in 2 weeks, and I was going to steal a Norm Macdonald joke and say that I was going to name it Syndrome, so when it jumps up on me, I can tell it to get down. Syndrome.
Dodd loves it. Dodd loves it.
Oh, now, by the way, after last week's podcast, McCorkle, who never usually texts me back, sends me like 19 photos of dogs that are expensive. And I'm like, all right, I get it. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, you know, this is worth $12,783. This one's worth so you really are breeding pit bulls in your house?
Not in my house. Tired. And I'm not breathing.
That's why he's tired all the time.
I knew that was coming.
Personally breeding those.
No, I have two very expensive pit bulls now. And when they have puppies one day, I should be able to turn about $100,000 on it. That's my plan anyway.
Now, how old are these pit bulls?
My one is 5 months old and the other one is just 7 weeks. So I have to wait a year to breed the female at least. But because I'm not that kind of a dog breeder. No. No, these two dogs, they're puppies from these two lines of pit bulls. Their puppies sell easily $5,000 to $10,000 a piece. So, and there's people waiting in line for them. So it shouldn't be an issue.
And you're so generous, you're going to get us all one.
Wow.
Out of your generosity, you're going to get me one out of the first litter.
Now, are you?
Yeah, Don Fry's got dibs.
The dog, and I mean it with all my heart, Don Fry. That's how awesome you are. I'll give you your choice, first choice of the dogs.
Boom.
Now, Sean, are you worried about people online? I'll take it.
Might be able to trade it at the trading post for a server.
Sean, are you worried about people online? Pelts
and that dog will get you a good server.
Sean, are you worried about people online getting mad at you? Be like the anti-dog breeder people?
I don't worry about anybody ever getting mad at me. I don't really care what anybody thinks about anything. It's yeah, they can eat one. I'm not going to be politically correct. I still don't wear a mask. And anytime they ask me to at a place, I just tell them I'm protesting for Black Lives Matter. And if they ask me to put on a mask, they're a racist. And they back right off.
You know, I gotta say, I'm with you. I'm kind of with you on this one, Sean. Is it, no matter what you do, there's going to be someone against it somewhere. It doesn't matter. So all you can do is what you really like to do or what you believe in, and fuck all the haters.
Yeah, look, man, if people...
It isn't like I'm doing gay porn to pay for college. Like, I'm just breeding really purebred dogs.
So. All right, well, with that, that's our podcast today. Weendog, what do you have coming up?
Just follow me on social media at the Weendog.
Sean, what do you have? If somebody wants to buy one of your dogs, how do they get in contact with you?
They should probably send me a message on Facebook before I finally get rid of it for their freedom of speech violations. But hey, I do want to say real quick before I get off here, I apologize about what I was saying about the Guida brothers sucking really bad. They don't suck. They suck really, really, really bad. So I just want to clear that up.
Very important. That's an important distinction.
And then Don Fry, right. What do you have coming up?
Well, I will be selling Sean McCorkle and Brendan Shaw gay porn. Night of the Masters 1, 2, and 3, and I plan on retiring from the money I will receive from that.
Oh my god!
All right, now who's on top? Who's on top of that gay porn?
You gotta ask Sean that.
Sean?
No, I was gonna say you gotta ask Brendan Schaub that, but I actually just gotta ask Rogan because it'll be whoever he says as far as Schaub's concerned.
Ooh, shots fired!
All right, Greg, what do you have coming up?
Coming up on the 20th, we'll be having the showcase. This 5-week workshop I've been doing has been churning out incredible material. It's so much fun. I'm loving teaching this workshop. And so, if you want to see the student showcase on Zoom on the February 20th, be sure and go to thecomedyinstitute.com and just sign up for the newsletter. And the link will go out in that the week of. And then we'll be starting another workshop the following week on the 23rd. So if you want to study the craft, go to thecomedyinstitute.com.
Yes. February 18th to the 21st, I'm headlining at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas at the Tropicana. So hopefully I'll see you guys there. Thank you. And also you could stream my special Adam Hunter Throwing Punches on Fight Pass right now.
Woo!
And I got a show on Fight Pass with Forrest Griffin, UFC watch party coming out. We and him watch fights together. Thank you guys so much. You guys are the best. I will see you next week. Better service. But even if you don't, I'll still see you next week. I love you guys. Take care.
All right, man.
Bye.
Talk soon.